Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the king.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take me to the King. Praise the Lord. Welcome. This is Pastor Rebecca, and I welcome you to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. It's a beautiful day outside, and it is a great day to be alive. Amen. To God be the glory for all the marvelous and wonderful things that He has done and continues to do. I pray that you're having a blessed day. Hallelujah. Yes, I pray that you're making the best out of every opportunity that the Lord puts in your path. And I do believe that God is opening doors during this season that no man can close, and He's closing doors that no man can open. So get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready to walk through the open doors that God has. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just heard that we're having some technical difficulties. I was just told that one of my listeners couldn't hear me. I pray that you all can hear me out there. I pray that you all can hear me out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was just going on and on. I was talking and just giving God the praise, giving God the glory, giving God the honor, saying that you need to praise God anyway. My God, no matter what's going through on, no matter what you're going through, just praise God anyhow. And I was just told that one of my listeners couldn't hear me. So I don't know if, just work it out, just hold on a second while we work out our technical difficulties. Did he call back? Just wait one second while I speak with one of my daughter to see if that person called back. Did they call back? Okay, praise God. Amen. Well, I don't know how long he wasn't able to hear me, but I want to welcome you again to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Something was going on with my sound, and I was just encouraging you. I was encouraging you to praise God anyhow. Praise God no matter what you're walking through. Praise God no matter what it looks like. Just continue to praise God. And that's my topic on today. Trusting God in tough times. I want to talk to you today, my sister, about trusting God in tough times. You know, sometimes you go through things in life and you wonder why you have to go through those things, or you wonder if you can even make it through. You wonder where God is, or if God is even there with you. You wonder if there could have been anything that you could have done to avoid it, or how you could come through that situation better and more equipped for problems that you may encounter in the future. I want to talk to you about trusting God in tough times. So no matter what you're going through, I want you to know that God is with you. Amen. God is with you. I preached yesterday at our church. I preached from the book of Job, chapter 23. And I just want to talk a little bit about Job today and how Job was a righteous man, and Job was living right before the Lord. And one day Job had a sudden catastrophe in his life, and he lost everything in one day. God gave the devil permission to test Job, to strike Job's property, to deal with his children, and even to attack Job's body. But he told the devil, you cannot have his life. God had put a hedge of protection around Job, but he removed it to the extent that he allowed Job to go through some problems in his life. And Job, when he got to the point where he was sick in his body, he sat down and he was just sitting down and he was really having a pity party. Have you ever had a pity party where you wonder what's going on in your life and how did it get to this point? Well, Job got to that point and he had a pity party. He had some friends. His friends just sat around and really looked at him and stared. You know, there are some people in your life that are watching you. And the sad part about it is They're not necessarily watching you to make sure that you succeed, but there are people in your life that are hoping that you won't make it. And they are watching you. They hear you praising God. They hear you quoting scripture, preaching sermons. They hear you praying for other people. They hear you going forth and evangelizing, trying to win souls for Christ. They hear you with a praise on your lips, always rejoicing. And some people cannot handle your praise. They cannot handle your praise. And it's just really that they're jealous of you. They're jealous because you are so blessed. They're jealous because you are so highly favored. And we have a saying that favor's not fair. Favor's not fair. And it's not, because God says, it's not about being fair, but God says, I'll show favor on whom I want to show favor on. God chooses to show favor on those whom he chooses to show favor on. And the fact that you've been chosen, the fact that you are blessed and highly favored, is the reason why you probably praise God the way that you do, because God has brought you a mighty long way. I don't know about you, but God has brought me a mighty long way. I have been through a lot in life, and it bothers me sometimes that people can't handle the fact today that I am blessed. People can't handle my praise sometimes, but I had to get to a point in my life where I didn't let that bother me, and that I didn't let it stop me. I had to get to a point in my life that I could not be frustrated by those who could not celebrate with me, and I had to also get to a point where I could not be distracted. Because your haters will distract you. Yeah, yeah. You know, you can get to a point in your life where you are so focused on what people think about you. You're so focused on who does not like you. You can get to a point in your life that you're so focused on who's ostracizing you, who's talking about you, who's rejecting you, that you lose focus on what you're really supposed to be focusing on. And that's your purpose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have a greater purpose than focusing on your haters. Your purpose is bigger than those people who are not for you. See, if they're not for you, then, you know, I hate to say it like this. If they're not for you, then they are irrelevant to the plan that God has for your life. They can't stop you from moving forward unless you let them, unless you allow them to. As a matter of fact, I will want to go as far as to say that you have been ordained to be a blessing in their lives. Yeah, yeah. So like Job's friends, there are many people who are watching you, and they see things going wrong in your life, and they're waiting for you to just give up, to throw in the towel and quit. They're waiting for you to die or to go down and be depressed. There are people who are waiting for you to fall or to fail. There are people who are waiting for you to give into that sickness or to go ahead and have a nervous breakdown. But you have to declare out of your own mouth, I will not bend, I will not bow, I will not go under. This sickness is not unto death. This financial situation that I'm facing will pass. God is going to provide for my every need. There is no lack in my life. I know that I serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, and I'm not going to worry, but I am going to rest in the promises of God. Yeah, my sister, no matter what you're facing, I want you to rest in the promises of God. God said that he has a plan for your life to prosper you and not to harm you. God says that he has a plan for a hope and a future. The Bible tells us that your latter days shall be greater. If you don't grow weary in well-doing, the Bible says you will reap a harvest. If you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't throw in the towel, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest. Oh, yeah, I came to tell somebody on today that harvest time is here. This is your season for breakthrough. This is your season for harvest. This is your season for increase. Yeah, hallelujah. That's why God wanted me to even begin to continue to talk about Job. Job suffered a lot. Job went through a lot. Job lost a lot. He had some heartaches and some headaches. Amen. But Job did not give up. Job did not compromise his integrity. His wife said, curse God and die. Curse God and die. And he looked at his wife and he said to her, woman, you sound like a fool. Should we accept the good from God and not bad? And, you know, I never understood the fullness of the content of that statement until recently. You know, I'm super spiritual. My husband tells me that I'm super spiritual. He tells me, you know, sometimes he says you don't have to be that spiritual, but he hasn't said it lately because we both have experienced an increase in our level of spirituality. But I've always been this, hear me. I've always been this very spiritual person. And I've always declared that my faith would not waver. I've always opened my mouth to say, I will never quit. I will not throw in the towel. I will not stop praising God. His praise will always be in my mouth. Until recently, I found myself a few days ago in a really funky mood. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've ever found yourself in like a really funky mood, like you really didn't want to be bothered. And like Job in chapter 23, he says, I looked near and far, I couldn't find you. I looked to the left, I looked to the right, I still could not find you. You know, and it was to the point where Job could not trace God. He could not see God. He could not feel God. And he just was looking for God. He said, I'm seeking you. You're more important to me than my necessary food at this point. You know, I need you. He got to the point where he was thirsting and hungering for the presence of God. And I got to that point where I felt empty. Have you ever felt empty? Have you ever been moving forward on faith, moving forward by faith, and then got to a point where you ran out of fuel, where you ran out of gas? Yeah. That happened to me last week. I got to a point. I've been moving forward by faith for about, my God, I would say for about 30 weeks, straight. You know, for about three months straight, I've been moving forward by faith. So about 12 weeks, just moving forward by faith. And then I got to a point where I just couldn't go forward anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. I just stopped. Actually, it wasn't 3 weeks. I'm sorry. It was about eight weeks. It's been about 8 weeks for about 4 months where I've had to go on a faith walk, and I've been moving forward by faith. In the beginning, I was reading my Bible every day. In the beginning, I was getting up praying every day. But for the last week, about the last 7 to 10 days, I've had a change in my living situation, and I haven't been able to do my routine stuff, like get up and go down to my altar and pray and read my word and watch the word and spend the morning with Jesus. But lately, I've had to get up every day and go out, and it's just been hectic. And what happened was I ran out. I ran out of fuel. I ran out of spiritual fuel. I ran empty. And I could not feel God. I could not feel him. When I prayed, I didn't feel that quickening that I feel in my belly. When I read the word didn't quicken me. I didn't feel him. I still read, you know, the word. I still looked at preachers. I still prayed, but it wasn't my normal. It wasn't my normal fervency. And I just tapped out. I tapped out. And I got into a really, really low place. And I could relate to Job. That's when God showed me Job. He showed me Job chapter 23. He took me to Job chapter 23, where Job said, God, I can't find you. I can't feel you. I'm looking for you. I need you. I need you. And that's where I was. And then I began to call on the Lord, and then God began to come. And I began to seek God, and I began to get back into the Word and begin to pray again and begin to fill myself up again. And then I began to fill God again. I began to feel my strength coming back. The Bible says, when I find him, what will he do? Job says, he will strengthen me. See, when you're feeling empty, when you feel like God is not there, God didn't move. God said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, but lo, I'm always with you. It's not that God moved, but you moved. It's not that God had moved, it's that I had moved. I had not been pursuing God. I had not been spending time with God the way that I had been accustomed to. I need God every day. I need him every day. I know now, my God, after last week and after this last 2 months that I've been walking through, this trial that I've been walking through, I know that you can't do it without filling yourself up every day. You cannot take the films of yesterday to fuel your faith for today. Let me say that again. You cannot take the films of yesterday to fuel your faith for today. One more time. You cannot take the films of yesterday to fuel your faith for today. You have to fill up every day. You cannot go to the gas station once a week or once every twice a week. You have to go to that Word every single day and fill up on the Word and fill up on high-quality fuel, not leftovers, not somebody else telling you what God said, but you have to get into God's face through prayer and reading the Word for yourself. Amen? Amen. So the only way that I was able to feel better was by going back to God and going back to the Word. So the first thing that you have to do when you're in tough times is to recognize that God is your only answer. Recognize that you need God more in the tough times than you needed him when times were going good. See, we have a tendency not to seek God when times are going good. I mean, when times are going bad. We can seek him when times are good, but when things get hard, it's harder to seek God's face. That's why it's even more important to seek him more and more when times are good, so that you can have the strength to keep going until you can get back to your normal routine if your routine is interrupted. Amen. So recognize that God is the answer. Recognize that God is always there for you. Some of you may not be that spiritual, but I want to challenge you. Let me challenge you to get more spiritual. Let me challenge you to read the Word more. Let me challenge you to go to church every Sunday. Let me challenge you to lift your voice and praise when the congregation is praising God. Don't stand there being quiet. Open your mouth and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first thing you have to do is recognize that God is with you. Listen, my sister, you might be going through a hard time right now. Your kids might be acting crazy. Your husband might be acting up. You might be having problems in your relationship. You might feel like there's no answer, but I want to let you know that Jesus is still the answer. God still has a plan for your life, and your circumstance, what you're going through now, does not change who he is. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Amen. Get you a word and hold on to that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So recognize that God is still God, even in the bad times. Job recognized that God was still God, even in his toughest times. Even when he felt like he had lost everything, he did not give up on God. Let me encourage you. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God, because God will never give up on you. No matter how I don't care what you've done, how many times you've done it, who you've done it with, don't give up on God. Don't even let your sinful lifestyle push you away from God. Amen. continue to cleave to God. The Bible tells us to cleave to God. Grab a hold of God and don't let him go. The Bible says cleave to God because he is your life. And I recognize that. I recognize that. You know, I have an old testimony. When I was 10 years old, I was molested. Went through a lot of hard times. 11, 12, 13, I was rejected by my dad when my mom and my dad broke up. 14, 15, 16, I started indulging in drugs and drinking and looking for love in all the wrong places. By the time I was 15, I was pregnant. By the time I was 16, I was a mother for the first time. Amen. Hallelujah. 17, 18, 19, got into a relationship with all the wrong people. 20, 21, 22, I was married to a man who was not honest with me. I mean, this man had so many secrets in the closet, it would blow your mind if I told you what was going on with this guy, you know. And by the time I was 23, 24, 25, I was separated and on the party scene in a big way. I mean, just partying like crazy. And just doing all kinds of craziness, drugs, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, relationships, partying every night, neglecting my child, so much going on, looking for love in all of the wrong places, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, more of the same, you know, more of the same. And then when I was 33 years old, I met a man who told me about Jesus, and he invited me to church, took me to church. I got saved, gave my life to the Lord, and eventually I married that man. And for the first 7 years of our marriage, it was just really, really rough. I mean, it was not what I imagined. It was not what I wanted. It was not what I bargained for. We both talked about divorce. We had a blended family. We wanted to give up, but we kept going, and we stayed the course. By the time I was 40, we were getting it right. Amen. 42. By the time I was 42, I let him know my whole testimony, and he loved me even the more so because of that. But I got free. I began to get free. Amen. God broke every chain off of me. Amen. I was like the woman with the issue of blood, and I began to grope for the hem of Jesus' garment. I said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And I began to become transparent with myself. I began to open up and be honest. It's time to be honest with yourself. It's time to look at your life and look at what hurts. A lot of you are in bad relationships because you're still hurting. You're in the wrong relationships because you're looking for that love that you didn't get from your father. You're looking for that love that you didn't get from your first love. You were jilted at the altar. You were in a bad relationship. You were cheated on. You were lied to. And you're still out there looking for love in all the wrong places. And I want to let you know today that you don't have to settle for less. You don't have to settle for less. You don't have to be someone's second best. You don't have to be someone's midnight call, or what they want to call a booty call. You don't have to be someone's thought. You know, they call it that. That's the language they say, that hoe over there. You are not a hoe. You're not loose. You're not somebody's sperm bag. My God. You don't have to just be there for somebody who wants to come and satisfy their sexual needs. Amen. You are better than that. Amen. You don't have to be abused. You don't have to be someone's punching bag. You don't have to listen to someone calling you all kinds of names. You are a queen. You are a queen. You are a queen, and you deserve to be treated like a queen. You are precious. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. You are beautiful. I don't even know you, but I can tell you right now that you are beautiful. Look in the mirror and stop picking out stuff that you don't like about yourself, and start looking at the true beauty. Look into those beautiful eyes, those beautiful brown eyes, those beautiful blue eyes. Look at that beautiful hair that you have. Look at the curve of your hips. Look at your, listen to your voice. No one looks like you. No one sounds like you. You are a designer's original. Amen. And it's time for you to recognize that. Take off the mask. Stop hiding your scars. Your scars contribute to your beauty. What you've been through today made you into the woman that you are. Stop being ashamed of the things that you've had to live through. You know, if you were abused, if you were neglected, rejected, abandoned, lied on, cheated on, lied to, then you were a victim. But guess what? You are no longer a victim, and you don't have to live your life as a victim. You are victorious. If you are a believer, you have the victory. You already have the victory in Jesus. Amen? So I want you to hear what I'm saying and trust these words. These are biblical words. I'm talking to you from the Bible. God's words to you. Trust God. Trust the word of God. Trust what God says about you. And throw out the negativity that life has said about you. Throw out all the negative voices and the negative words that you have received into your heart and your mind and your spirit. Throw them out. They are no longer valid. I take away the value of those words today, and I replace those words with the value that God's word has. God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. Amen. And God said, my word will not pass away. My word will not come back void. He said, my word will prosper that thing to which I sent it. And God sent his word to prosper you, my sister. He sent his word to give you life. He sent his word to give you peace. He sent his word to give you hope. He sent his word to give you joy. So grab a hold of the word of God today. Stop accepting the lies of the enemy of your purpose. Stop accepting the lies of the enemy of your destiny. Listen, listen, listen. Stop competing with other women. Listen, I want you to hear me. You do yourself a disservice by looking at another woman and rolling your eyes and wishing that you had what she has. Stop competing with other women. Look in that mirror and compete only with yourself. Only determine that you're going to get better every day. Listen, and let me tell you something else. Don't get bitter. Don't hate on your haters. Don't get bitter. Get better. Don't get bitter. Get even by getting better. And you don't even get even by getting better, but you gain the upper hand. Because you step out from amongst the crowd and you step on a higher plane. A higher playing field, and you say, you know what, I'm going to rise above the nonsense. I'm going to rise above the drama. I'm going to rise above pity. I'm going to rise above the competitiveness. I'm going to rise above. And you know what, the best thing you can do is to lock arms with your sisters and do the work of the Lord. Do the work that you've been called to do. Partner up with other beautiful women like yourself. And so, you know what? I'm not going to be a hater. I'm going to be a helper of my sister. Come on, somebody. I could have shouted on that one by myself because I told you my testimony, and God healed me from all of that stuff, being rejected, being neglected, being abandoned, being molested, being on drugs, being in wrong relationships. God healed me of all of that. And then I came into the church and had to deal with haters in the church from my own sisters. I had to deal with being pulled down and hated on by my sisters. And you know what God taught me from that? God taught me how to love. He taught me how to love. So it doesn't hurt me. Yeah, it breaks my heart sometimes. But it doesn't make me mad. It doesn't make me want to get back at people when they mistreat me, especially my sisters. I look at you all. I look at all of my sisters, and I say, my God, she's beautiful. I look at your hair. I look at your skin, your eyes. I look at whether you feel like you're overweight or underweight. And I say, my God, that sister is beautiful. And I'm straight. I'm straight. I've been married for almost 19 years. I love my husband. I've always loved men. But I'm able to appreciate the beauty that God put in women, not just me, because I mean, my God, I'm all that in a bag of chips, a Starbucks, a Diet Coke, and some Tic Tacs. Amen. So you gotta know. You have to know. You have to know your value. You know that if you know your value, you won't be intimidated by another woman's value. If you know your value and your beauty, you won't be intimidated by another woman's value and another woman's beauty. Amen. I'm at the doctor's office with my husband. We're walking through his healing right now. And the nurses love my husband. My husband is fine, y'all. He's fine. Amen. But the nurses, all colors, races, sizes, shapes, ages, they love my husband. They love Pastor Anthony. He has this sparkle in his eye, and he's tall and dark and handsome. And they love my husband. And he just exudes confidence. He's just fine. Amen. And I go in there, and I tell these women, you know, like, I'm tired of y'all hovering over my husband. I tell the nurses, I'm tired of y'all hovering around my husband. And I'm laughing, and they start laughing at me. And this main nurse said to me, she said to my husband, she said, well, you know, you won't be coming to see us anymore. Your time with us is up. You know, your treatments are over. And he said, yeah, I'm going to miss you guys. You guys are really taking good care of me. And then this woman says to my husband, well, come back and see us. Come back and visit. And then she said, but leave the wife at home. I was like, I'm going to get you, Patty. I'm going to get you, you know. And I cracked up. And then the doctor says, another female, she says, did you hear what she said? And I said, yes. And I insist that she be fired immediately. I insist that you fire. And we're laughing, the three of us women, one Jewish, one Italian, and one black. And we're laughing, you know, at this joke that's going on around my husband. And Patty said, yeah, you know I'm going to take care of my man. And talking about my husband, right? And we're laughing because it was all in fun. It was all a part of his healing process, you know, a part of the laughter. And they're not trying to take my man, you know. They couldn't take him anyway, but, you know, they're laughing. And I'm blessed because there was a time when I used to be so jealous and so insecure. And I'm laughing and praising God, like, you know what, God, you're a mighty God. You're a healer, you're a deliverer, you know. I'm not insecure. I'm not worried about my husband sneaking off to the hospital to go see one of these women. You know, I'm not worried about, you know, him being flattered, you know, by their remarks. I'm not worried about, you know, any of that stuff. And it was just so refreshing. So what I'm saying to you is get your value. Get your value from what God says about you. And walk in that confidence. The Bible says, cast not aside your confidence. Cast not aside your confidence in who he is and who he has created you to be. Know that you are awesome, my God, in his sight. Awesome, created in his image. Amen. And that means that you're worthy of honor and respect. So you don't have to be disrespected. Listen, if I would have told them and gave them the face and said, okay, that's it, no more of that, they would have stopped because they respect me. Amen. But know who you are. Know who you are. Amen. Praise God. So you have to, when you're walking through tough times, another thing is recognizing God for who he is and that he's with you and that he's in control. Recognize that God is in control of the situation and that God's not going to allow that situation to overwhelm you no matter what it is. Some of you need some bills to be paid. I came to tell you that God's in control. Some of you are believing God for your children. I came to tell you that God's in control. Some of you are believing God for your marriage. I came to tell you that God's in control. Amen. So believing God and trusting God in tough times says, I know and I believe that God didn't bring me this far to leave me. Amen. That if he brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. Amen. So trust God. Recognize that he's with you. Recognize his presence in the middle of your situation. And the next thing is to reverence God. Reverence him for who he is. And that's why I was telling you earlier, praise God anyhow. Praise God anyway. Praise God even if you don't feel like praising God. Praise him when you can't trace him. Trust him when you can't trace him. Praise God when you can't see him. Praise God when it feels like he has abandoned you. Like I told you earlier, it's only he's only a prayer away. He didn't move. You move. You stop praying. You stop praising God. You stop going to church. You stop reading your word. You stop hearing the word. Get back into the face of God. Reverence God. Have a godly fear. Job had a godly fear of God. He was like, I'm afraid of God. He makes me melt. He makes me tremble. Let me ask you this, my sister. Does God still make you tremble? Does he still make you afraid, a reverence of him? Like, are you still scared to do some of the stuff that you are tempted to do? I don't know about you, but I'm scared to sin. I'm scared because I know sin has some repercussions. I'm scared to go out and go against God's will because I know too much about him. My God, I'm scared to disappoint him. Amen. I know he loves me. I know he's not going to, you know, strike me with lightning, but I don't want to even see his displeasure. I don't even want God to be displeased with me. My God, I don't know who I came to talk to on today, but reverence God. Don't get common with God. Don't get casual with God. Keep a godly fear. Keep a godly reverence. You know how we used to be scared of the belt? My God. When mommy would say, I'm going to whip you, and we were scared of that belt. We need to be scared of God's wrath. We need to be scared. Our lives are in his hands. Amen. Our lives are in his hands. God can do anything. He can do anything. We might not go to hell, but my God, I don't even want to begin to imagine some of the consequences that some of the sins that we dare to commit come with. Amen. And we're not perfect. I told the church yesterday, none of us have arrived. But we should be striving towards that perfection. We should be striving every day to please God. I came to talk to my sisters. I came to talk to you about Jesus. I came to talk to you about God the Father. You should be striving every day to please God. Because the more you please him, the more pleased he is with you, and the more he blesses you. God favors his favorite. God favors those who doesn't give him problems. My God, God delights in the prosperity of his people. Why did he choose Mary? He was pleased. The angel told Mary, you are blessed and highly favored. You have found favor in the eyes of God. My God, I want that. I want God to continue to bless me. I want him to continue to favor me. I want him to continue to just pour out his blessings upon my life. And I declare and decree that as you walk uprightly before the Lord, you might go through some tough times, like Job went through some tough times, but they will not take you out. And your latter days shall be greater, and God will bless you, and he will prosper you if you persevere, if you don't quit, if you don't give up. You might be going through the tough time right now, but keep holding on, and keep holding on to your faith, and trust God in the middle of this trial. He said when you go through the waters, they won't overtake you. When you go through the fire, the flames won't burn you. God says he'll never let you go through more than you can handle. And when you feel like you've had too much, he provides a way out. He says after you suffer for a little while, he'll establish you. He'll perfect you. He'll set you up. My God, God's getting ready to set you up. God's getting ready to set you up. He sets you up for a setup. He sets you up for a blessing. He sets you up for a breakthrough. He sets you up for abundance. God's getting ready to bless you. That's why you got to keep moving forward. Paul says, I haven't gotten it yet, but yet I press. And many of you are about to birth out some stuff. You got to keep pushing. Pray until something happens. Keep pushing against the pressure. My God, don't allow the pressure to overwhelm you. keep pushing. Don't give up on God. God won't give up on you. And finally, the final thing is you have to repent. You have to repent. Some of y'all need to repent right now. You lost your temper. You cursed out your husband. You cursed out your kids. You neglected your children. You're not doing your wifely duties. You're not sleeping with your husband. You're not making love to your husband. Let me talk to the married women. You better make love to that man, your husband. I'm not talking to the single women. I'm talking to the married women. God said that the husband and wife should not abstain from sexual intimacy from each other unless they agree upon it for a fast. He said, don't abstain too long from each other because you give the devil a toehold. Don't give the devil a toehold in your marriage. Amen. Keep that man, keep him satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep the marriage bed hot. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll leave it at that. I'll let that convict you. I'll let it drop right there. I'll let it drop right there. Amen. And for the single women, hold out until you get married. My God, people say, well, my God, Rebecca, how old are you? I'm 53. Well, they say, Pastor Rebecca, you're back in the old ages. People are not virgins anymore. People are not celibate anymore. And my question is, why not be a virgin when you get married? Why not be celibate? Because the more every time you lay down with a man, you give him power over your body, over your mind, over your life. I'm running out of time, but I want to say this. When you are single and you lay down with a man, you give him spiritual authority in your life. There's a sexual exchange that is made, and you give that man spiritual authority in your life. You don't believe me? I don't know. I was on Facebook before I came on the air, and there was a news story. In 2013, there was a prison that was being run by a gang, and they were using sex to take control over the female guards in the prison, So they used sex they seduced these women who were working in the prison, and these women became under their control because of sex. I'm telling you. And they used that control. There's one person, the leader of the gang, who said this was his prison. He said, this is my prison. I think his name is Damon White or something like that. But the leader of the gang impregnated five of these guards, of these prison guards. He got five of them pregnant, and two of these women were pregnant at the same time. And you tell me that sex doesn't have power. Let me tell you something. Clank, clank for Jesus. Keep those legs closed before you get married. Because when you start having sex with a man, if you give him your body, he can take control over your mind. He can take control over your emotions. And you'll be doing stuff that you would never think you would do. And then you'll be wondering, why did I do that? How did that happen? How did I let him have that kind of control? That was stupid. But that sex is a drug. And that sex can mess you up. Amen. So a lot of us need to repent. We need to repent. And God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. Amen. I told you I had sex outside of marriage, but God finally sent me my husband. Amen. Hallelujah. And even then we didn't get it right. And we had to repent. And we kept repenting. And then God let us get married, but we were making our way towards living right. And that's all I'm saying to you, woman of God. Stop compromising. Don't be like the status quo. Be the extraordinary. Be the spiritual giant. Be a woman of God. And keep repenting until you get it right. You might mess up after you repent, but repent again. Amen. And the final thing is, if you do all of these things, even in tough times, God will reward you. If you trust God in tough times, He will reward you. Amen. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God will reward you for your faithfulness towards him. He will give you a marriage that is, my God, that is like a fairy tale. My marriage is like a fairy tale. It's crazy. But God will give you that kind of marriage. He will give you that husband that you've been praying for. He will give you a husband who honors you. Your children will raise up and call you blessed. You will be that Proverbs 31 woman. He will give you success in business. Look at the Proverbs 31 woman. She was successful in business. Her home was run peacefully. She was she had money in the bank. She was crafty with her hands. Everything she touched prospered. She made her man look good, her husband look good when he went out to the city gate. This woman, her children raised up and called her blessed, and so did her husband. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will be like that woman. God will reward you. Amen. He will give you favor like he gave Mary. He will put you in charge like he did Queen Esther. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will bless you. God will bless you like he blessed Job, even after suffering. You might say, well, I'm tired of being alone. I need somebody. I'm tired of struggling. I need to go work under the table. I want to go work in this bar. I'm just going to make some money stripping. Don't do it. Live for God. You gave your life to God. Live for God. Amen. And watch God reward you. Watch him bless you, not just when you get to heaven, but on this side of heaven. Amen. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, God knows about it. God came when Job got to the end of his complaint. God came and God dealt with Job. And Job repented and said, God, I heard of you, but now I have seen you. I heard of you with my ears, but now I have seen you with my eyes. And God rewarded Job because of his faith, because he didn't compromise his faith. Amen. He didn't let go of his integrity. And Job had to turn around and pray for his enemies. He had to pray for his so-called friends. And God blessed Job with double of what he had lost. And God's getting ready to bless you. God's getting ready to reward you. He's going to give you more than you've given up for him. He said, in this life, if you give up houses and homes and anything you give up for me in this life, God said, I will give you double. God's going to give you double for your trouble. He's going to reward you for everything you sacrificed for him, for everything you had to go through, for every time you had to cry. God's going to bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. So trust him. I want to challenge you to trust God. Trust him. I know it's hard, but trust God. Amen. And watch him bless you. Trust God in his hard time. Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. I think I have a few minutes. I think I have a few minutes to take a call. If you want to talk to me, you can press 1, and I will take your call. Amen. That was good to me. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless me. God bless me. Hallelujah. Through that, amen. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca. You can visit me at my church. Listen, I'm at New Creation Christian Ministries, and I would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing in that house. We're not just looking for visitors, but we're looking for people to come and partner with us and be a part of the great work that we're doing at New Creation Christian Ministries. But you're still welcome to visit. I just want you to know that I'm looking for those that God has sent that say, you know what, we're going to send you some help that's going to roll up their sleeves and do this work with you. Amen. So we're at 1482 Maple Avenue. We're in Hillside, New Jersey, and you're always welcome to come and be a part of what God is doing in that house. If you've been a part of us before, you know God is telling you, come on back home. Amen. Come on back home. I'm here almost every Monday. Look for me Mondays at 7 o'clock p.m. right here, Woman to Woman with Pastor Rebecca, blogtalkradio.com/power. If you're not saved, I want to encourage you to give your life to the Lord. You can't trust God if you don't know him. Amen. So give your life to the Lord. Say, God, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus came and lived and died for me. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. If you believe that on today in your heart and confess it with your mouth, Jesus died on the third day. He got up from the grave. They buried him, and on the third day he got up with all power in his hand. If you believe that and you confess it with your mouth, believing it with your heart, the Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. And all you have to do is confess, I believe, and repent and say, God, give me that new life. I want life, and I want it more abundantly. If you made that prayer today, if you made that confession, you can email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com or send me a Facebook inbox. I'm Pastor Rebecca Simmons at Facebook. Connect with me on Facebook. Amen. Meet me here next week, possibly. I pray that I'll be here. If not, see me when you see me. Amen. I try to come every week, but I'm going through a lot. Pray for me as I pray for you. Amen. And let me pray for you. Father God, we praise your holy name. We worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, I thank you for every woman that's tuned in on tonight. I thank you for my sisters, God. I thank you for their lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that they could trust you in the troubled times. They could trust you in the hard times. So, God, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That your hand is upon their lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I pray for healing in their lives. If any have been molested, God, I pray for healing right now, God, that you would heal them. If any are sick, I pray for healing, God, that you would touch their bodies, Father God. I pray for their families, for their loved ones, for their children, for their husbands, for the husband that you're sending, oh God. I pray, Father God, for their relationships and their finances, God. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for making provision. You're making a way out of no way. I thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for having your hand upon their lives. Lord, use them mightily, Father God. Set them in the right church, oh God. Give them the pastor that you have set over their lives, a pastor in that's over, after your heart, God. You said you will raise up pastors after your own heart, oh God. Father God, continue, Father God, to show them the way to go. Like Job, we know that you know the way that we take, oh God. Help them to stay encouraged in troubled times, oh God. Help them to hold on to the faith. Help them not to give up and not to throw in the towel, oh God. So Lord, I pray for my sisters right now, and I pray for my brothers, oh God, who are listening, God. And I thank you, Lord, that that same prayer is over their lives. Continue to walk with them and talk with them and keep them in times of trouble. Lord, help us all to trust you in troubled times, and to know that trouble don't last always. Help us to hold on until our change comes, and knowing that it truly will, and help us to grow closer to you, God, as we walk out our faith, as we walk out our faith, as we continue to hold on and walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Amen. Imagine what it's like to be in the faith of God.
Can you imagine just standing before the King? Oh, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what might be when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
could hold.